Hey, everybody, it's Elaine, and this is Tuesday, February 16th in the year 2016. That's sort of cool. And this is the 2 p.m. Eastern Time Parent Success System group. We're going to be talking about curiosity today. And we're going to start with check-ins. So, and when we did the last call I did a couple weeks ago, we sort of combined check-ins with taking aim, and it worked really nicely. So I want to introduce that as an option for you today if you want to do a check-in and take aim and sort of see what that does for you. So who wants to start?
I'll go. This is Sarah.
Great.
I don't really know what to share as far as check-in goes, but I know what I want to take aim on.
Okay.
Can I
just ask you a quick question before you take aim?
Sure.
So just in terms of check-in, was there anything you felt like you committed to on your last call that you want to sort of check in and say, okay, how's it going? What happened?
No, I'm noticing I'm coming to these calls and I'm really not, I'm saying what I'm going to take aim on and then I don't do anything with it.
All right, so that's a great place to check in and say,
good. Okay,
I'm not really holding myself accountable.
Yeah.
It's sort of changing, it's not what you do, but how you do it?
I guess in a sense. I mean, I think I just, because I'm single parenting it right now, my plate feels so big. You know, I feel like I have to have so much to, that it's really hard for me to focus on, okay, I'm taking aim on this.
Yeah.
You know.
So many different things.
Yeah. Whereas when my husband's home, I've got him to team up with and he can help. You know, I feel like I don't have as much responsibility. Well, I mean, I do, but it's just different. It's a bit different ball game when he's home.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah, okay. All right, so on the one hand, there's sort of a little bit of a maybe some accountability stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, you're coming to the calls, something's shifting, right? Like it's helping, in some way it's helping you manage whatever the crazy is that you're dealing with that week.
Yeah, like it totally is helping me in the way of understanding things better, you know, it's
right.
And knowing what... I'm just knowing what I should be doing or how I should be thinking of things rather than, you know, reacting.
Well, you know, and so we always say about coaching, there's two things you're looking for from coaching. One is to deepen your learning or your understanding of something, of what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other is what we call forwarding the action, like
mm-hmm.
taking action, doing something differently. And it may be that for right now where you are, deepening your learning and understanding is what you need so that you're taking little actions throughout the weeks.
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
good.
Yeah.
You know?
So when I said that I knew what I wanted to take aim on, I'm tired of hearing myself tell my son no so much. Or he needs these things he can't, there's lots of things that he can't do, but or that I don't want him to do or that I want him to stop doing. And I want to figure out a more creative way of saying, please don't do that.
So you want to be able to redirect, you want to be able to redirect behavior in a more positive way.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
I think that's it.
Yeah, it's pretty clear, actually.
Yeah.
Is there any particular time that you notice that it shows up a lot that you... It's like one thing you can point to?
No, it feels like everything. And it's the things that I'm saying no to are legit things. It's because it feels like everything he's asking me to do are impossible things. You know, it's like, no, you can't. I can't come up with an example right now. I wish I kept
you can't go skydiving
mind.
This afternoon after school?
Right. You know, things like that. No, we cannot do that.
Right.
No. Things like that, yeah.
Got it. Okay. Cool. So it's not you. What I like about what you just said is that you don't feel like you're being unreasonable or unrealistic. You just want to try to find a more positive way to frame it so it doesn't sound like it's no, no, no.
Right. Yes.
Okay. Great. What about you, Tamar? How are you?
Doing okay. I can't say that my accountability is much better. I'm kind of like all over the map with AIM and check-in, but if I can just borrow from the topic for today, I like the curiosity bit because I'm trying to like understand why things don't come home that my son needs to bring home. And, you know, he brought home his glasses, which was great, but there was no glasses case. Okay, so we have something, but where's the glasses? I don't know. You know, just like, well, you have a test on this. Well, I didn't bring home the packet. Well, how did you expect to study? It's just that frustration of like,
So you're frustrated that he's not thinking through things, right?
Right.
Okay. So it feels like we're moving to taking aim, but I want to sort of step back and just look at sort of generally speaking, you know, how would you say things are going? Because you've definitely had a rough fall and transition of the year, and like, how's it going for you? And how's it going for
Oh my God, so much better. Thank God. I mean, mornings are calm. They're even like nice.
Wow.
Just a quick example. I woke up one day, it was like before 6 a.m., and I heard a lot of noise, like slamming doors or whatever. I finally come to the dining room, which was blocked off by a towel that the kids were holding up, and I come in. They had set up breakfast for everyone, and everyone eats something else, down to the knife that I would use to cut up my banana into my cereal.
Oh, I just got chills. Aww.
And, like, this is my kids who just, you know, put me in the ER twice.
Right.
So,
right. Well,
thank
but
God.
This is your kid being intentional about what he cares about. He didn't put you in the ER intentionally. That was an accident, right? But this was intentional.
Mm-hmm.
This was letting mom know that I love her. And that's incredible.
That was nice. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so on the big picture, things are doing okay, and so now as you look to take aim,
I mean, I guess, you know, putting down the frustration and getting curious before I react.
Okay, so that's
you know,
the
in
strategy.
Terms of him
so
leaving
for what purpose? I want you to always sort of pull back and ask, what's the change I want to see? What am I trying to achieve with the structure?
I don't want him to feel bad, but I want him to learn that he's got to bring home what he needs.
Okay. So you want to help.
Sorry.
Say it again.
I think I'm not getting there. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. So, you know, you're good. You're fine. I'm just trying to get a sense of, I think what I'm hearing is that you want to help him begin to pay attention to taking care of things that he's responsible for.
Right, but on the opposite side of that is just, you know, monitoring my reaction to it.
Yeah, great.
And something that I did start, well, I didn't start too much, but I will be working on a special homework assignment book for him that has, I mean, he has one now that everyone gets from the school with the dates, but his is going to be specific. His is going to have the dates with the classes that he has on that day so that he has to make sure that in each box there is either NH for no homework or some kind of assignment, and there's going to be, this is my vision, some kind of checklist on the side. You know, if there's a social studies, you know, assignment, put that in the checklist, and you cannot get on that bus until you go through the checklist.
So I want to. I mean, it sounds like a great idea, and it could be if he's part of the solution. But if it's you coming up with another structure for him to use, it's less likely to be successful. So my challenge to you as you move forward with it is to involve him in the conversation and in the process so that you're coming up with a structure that actually that he feels bought into and invested in. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it does, because we started something with like a folder that he carries back and forth, and that worked for about a week.
Great. And, pretty good.
You know, I mean, I went through his bag last night, and he actually had in it what he needed, but it was like everything was all crumbled. He had tons of stuff he didn't need. And, you know, it's
all right. So tomorrow I want you to get really clear on what's the change you want to see.
I want to monitor my reaction when my son leaves things in school and involve him in a solution.
Okay. So it's sort of two parts. It's me, yes, and him in terms of helping him bring things home from school.
Yeah. Is that specific enough?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's really good. I mean, it's in some ways it's taking aim on two things, but that's the one time you get to do that. You have permission to take aim on two things when one's about you and one's about them, right? Because your your focus on you is what really, really matters, right?
Mm-hmm.
So cool. So today, and you've hit on it clearly. Today we're talking about curiosity. The caution I want to remind you is that we want to be careful not to look at the strategy or the tool and then say, okay, so that's the change I'm looking for, right? So the change isn't curiosity. Curiosity is a tool towards an end, and the end may be figuring out, understanding what's going on with him, having more understanding of what is allowing him or causing him to leave things at school, and therefore sort of monitoring your reactions to it. So curiosity can be a solution for both of those pieces of the puzzle, but curiosity isn't the goal. Curiosity is a means to an end. Does that resonate for you?
Yeah, totally.
Okay. Okay, and so both of you are really looking at your reaction and how you approach things, right? So tell me before, I'm going to go into a conversation about curiosity, but even before I do, tell me a little bit about what it means to each of you.
What? Say that one more time.
What it means to each of you when you think about curiosity as a strategy for parenting, what does it mean?
That we're taking the time to try to understand what's going on for our child in that moment, what they might be thinking or feeling or needing.
Okay, and what's important about that?
Because I think it gives insight to why something is happening and whether or not it's something that is, I guess, based on what we've learned before, whether or not it's naughty or neurological.
Neurological, right. Yeah.
No?
Okay,
yeah.
So it's a great tool for sort of unpacking, is it naughty or neurological?
Yeah.
Great. What else? What else comes up?
I think it's a less reactive type of approach, which is very important with these kids, instead of having that feeling of like, why can't you just, because I think I see myself or think that all day, kind of like, okay, let me try and understand where you're coming from and try to figure out why you X, Y, and Z.
Yeah. Well, so I love what you just said, because really what you're doing is you're asking yourself that question, why can't he just? Instead of asking him, curiosity actually allows you to ask yourself, to get curious about what's going on that's preventing him from or causing him to, whatever the behavior is, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because it's the question we naturally ask, right? When they do something that sort of makes us a little like, dumbfounded. Like, what? You did what? You want to do what? Right? You want to go skydiving? I was talking to a mom this morning whose daughter had planned with her friends, and she had planned like 6 different things for Valentine's Day, including, you know, getting their nails done and going for a hike. And, I mean, it was like this long list, and she's like, you want to do all of that in one day? So when we have that, like, what on earth could you be thinking moment, curiosity lets us take the judgment out of it, right? And not let it be about our bewilderment with them, but to sort of come back to ourselves, come in our own brains, and sort of, whether it's laughing or curiosity or, you know, in the traditional sense, or playfulness, however it shows up, to really think through for ourselves without letting it come out and sort of unfold onto them, right? So I think it's a phenomenal tool for reducing judgment, among a lot of things, but really it helps us take away that tendency we have to blame and shame that we really don't want to be doing, but we sort of, we get so surprised and bewildered that it comes out sounding like blame, right? Or, you know, Sarah, you really hit it when you said, you know, I'm tired of saying no all the time, right? I can't let him do these crazy things, but I'm tired of constantly sounding like a broken record.
Right.
And so curiosity becomes this tool that we can use to understand, as you say, to understand them differently and to understand ourselves differently, right? So it's also useful for us to apply to ourselves. What's motivating me? What's important about this to me? Why do I care about this? Now, I get why I care that he brings home his glasses, right? You know, do I really care why he brings home his case? Maybe I do, because that's what's going to keep the glasses safe. Okay, so you got a reason there, but maybe not. Maybe it's just I expect him to, because I can't take care of my things, right? Like, so as we unpack it and really explore it and explore our own thinking about things, it helps us see them as separate beings and not just extensions of ourselves. And I think we have this tendency as parents to forget that they are completely separate beings that have completely separate thoughts, and they see things in the way that it would never occur to us to see the world, which is pretty cool on one hand, and really part of what we love about our kids, that sort of creative spark and imagination and the ability to see the world through another's lens is really pretty cool. But when they don't bring home the things we think they should or what do what's expected of them, then it can make us sort of crazy, right? So what else about curiosity? Is there anything else that we haven't talked about? Is there anything that you struggle with when you try to use this strategy?
I think so.
Say it again?
No, I don't think I have any other have struggles with it.
So when do you use curiosity, Sarah?
Usually when I start getting annoyed. You know, why is he doing this, you know? I think this kind of goes hand in hand for me for curiosity and, what's the other one? The one we just last week.
Compassion,
yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of goes hand in hand with it.
Well, I think curiosity is a great access point. It helps us with compassion. It helps us with non-judgment.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us with collecting information. You know, when we look at the model and we really need to understand what's going on before we start trying to solve it.
Yeah.
Curiosity is just that overarching tool that we can use to access almost every other strategy we try to use. What about you, Spark? So you started off saying that, you know, you're trying to get curious about what was he thinking. Do you struggle with it?
I mean, I think I struggle with it in the sense of I have to remind myself over and over again to go to that strategy rather than blurting out, well, how do you expect to study for the test if you didn't bring home the material? Which is what I find myself doing.
Right.
You know.
So what tends to help you remember? When can you think of an example when you've gone straight to curiosity and you didn't go to judgment first?
I mean, even just yesterday, we were in the car, and you know, the teachers email out some of the homework for the week. So, you know, because we were off Friday and Monday, so it was from last week. And I said to him, I said, do you have your spelling packet at home? No, I can't find it. So, well, it's due on Thursday. I don't know where it is. I said, well, did you start it? So we kind of like, instead of me getting angry and upset about it, I did get curious, I think, now that I'm thinking about it. I even said, well, you might have to do a lot of it all at once. Like, what can we do to get that packet to you? And truth be told, I'm glad I got curious rather than annoyed, because I did find it in his bag, and he even started it. And it was just one of those crumpled up packets in his bag,
right.
But it was there.
Yeah. So there's a great place to look, because his response was, I don't know, I lost it. Well, why do you think he said that?
Because he can't keep anything straight.
Well, he doesn't even remember putting it in his bag.
Well, I mean, yeah, there was like 4 days of no school.
Right. Right.
So their last day of school was Thursday.
Right. So what happens is he assumes he doesn't know, didn't do it, doesn't da-da-da, because of a few things. One, he doesn't remember that he took it and put it in his bag. It was days ago, and he probably did it unconsciously when he did it in the first place, right? So that's that whole working memory thing. That wasn't part of it. It never made it into long-term memory that it was there in the first place. And then the effort to go look and find it, you know, you got to get activated to do that, and then you got to sustain the effort for that, and it's not really very fun, and there's nothing sort of motivating. It's a lot easier to just say, I don't know where it is.
Right. That's true.
Right? So there are a lot of different pieces of executive function involved with knowing where an item is.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and how many times have you put something down when you weren't thinking about it because you were thinking about something else, and then you can't find your glasses or your cup of tea or your phone or...
Oh, to me it happens all the time because I can't remember anything.
Right. Right? So it's sort of like that for them, too. They're not consciously thinking through an action enough to get it into that long-term memory loop. So, like, have you ever hidden something from yourself so well you can't find it?
Oh, yeah.
Right? And you say out loud, I'm putting this here, I'm telling you that I'm putting it here, so when I can't find it, you'll help me, right? You know, that whole process?
Mm-hmm.
When we do that, we're externalizing it to try to get it into our long-term memory. Because so many of the rote things that we do throughout the day, they're just not important enough to make it into any kind of a file cabinet, right, in our brain.
Mm-hmm.
And our kids, he doesn't even have a file cabinet in his brain yet.
Because
much less
of his
is he putting
disabilities
things
or because of his age?
Yes, all of the above. Developmentally, his brain, his file cabinet, his files are all over the place. He has not got anything organized in a consistent, coordinated file cabinet yet. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's part of what we're trying to teach by teaching them executive function and helping them begin to see and make the connections. But he doesn't really have them there. So it stands to reason that he doesn't know where his notebook is because he never paid attention to where he put it in the first place.
Well,
you know,
we started this red folder to carry things back and forth, and forget it. That's not being used. That was empty. And it didn't last too long. We put it in place to avoid this problem. It didn't really help.
Right. And why do you think that is?
Because he wasn't involved in the process.
Mm-hmm. So what problem were you trying to solve?
I was trying to stop getting the stuff home, but
okay. What problem was he trying to solve?
I don't know, he had no ownership of it.
Right. Well, and all he was trying to do was to try to remember one more thing you've asked him to do.
Mm-hmm.
That is out of context, that doesn't have any real meaning for him.
Right, which is true. I mean, he has the scorecard that he has to bring to each teacher, and he has to bring his homework pad to each teacher. He's got a lot.
He's got a lot. And so when he's so busy trying to remember those, it's almost like he's not part of creating it. He's just doing what he's being told at this point, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's almost like if he doesn't have that reason for doing it, then it's still loose files everywhere. It's not creating that file cabinet.
But how do I involve him with that appropriately that he'll actually keep to it?
Well, so what's appropriately and how long do you expect him to keep to it and keep to what and how many things? Like, how many things do you think you're really asking him to take aim on at school in a day?
Probably quite a few, actually.
So get curious for a minute. 5, 15, 35?
Well, just now with the scorecard is 1, and then the signatures on the scorecard is 1, and then the homework pad to the teachers. And I mean, I don't know if this counts, but just remembering to write neatly so other people can read what he writes, because he's got atrocious handwriting.
Yeah, that's a whole other one.
Remembering to hand in what he actually completes. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of stuff.
There is a lot. So where's the one place that you can take aim with him where you think you would see the biggest results for him, that he would see some success? So get curious about where you think he would like to see success.
Okay. Where he would or where I would? Because where he would, I think he's lost.
Related to school. We're still in the school realm. You don't have to go to something completely different.
No, I know, but I don't think he realizes that he leaves stuff in school all the time, and I think he would do so much better if he actually brought stuff home.
Right. So you think he would do better if he brought stuff home. And you're probably right. I don't think there's a question about that. What I'm trying to get curious about is
there's an echo, by the way.
We motivate him? I know, I hear that too. I don't know what to do. It looks like it went away. Like, what's his motivation for doing any of it?
Good grades.
Does he care?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. But we didn't even show him his report card because one of the teachers didn't give him any grades because he was out for so long and I was furious.
Yeah. So were you motivated by grades in school?
As a kid, yeah.
Okay. What about you, Sarah?
Yeah, I was.
Okay. Is your son?
No. He is anti-academics, period.
And getting curious, why do you think that is?
Because I don't think he has confidence in what he's doing. He doesn't think he can do any of it, so he doesn't want to even try.
Mm-hmm.
So that goes long, way back when. It's very deep.
Yeah. I was talking to my niece recently who's on a semester abroad. She's in college. And she was telling me about the classes she's taking. And she was taking one class, and I kid you not, because she said, well, it's really easy, and so I can get really good grades.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't motivated really by learning the material. She was motivated by where she thought she could succeed and avoiding where she thought she couldn't. And it sort of broke my heart because here she is in, abroad where she has this opportunity for incredible learning. And all she was really worried about was whether she was going to get a good grade.
Mm-hmm.
And there are kids who are definitely motivated by that. And I guess the question that comes up is that really what you want them to be motivated by?
Well, I don't think I'm worried about whether or not they're motivated. He's motivated by the grade. I'm more just, I want him to learn, you know.
Mm. So you want him to be motivated by learning.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's a huge shift. Do you see places where he is motivated by learning? In or out of
school? Yeah, when he sees that he's successful and that he can do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know. But if he doesn't think he can do it, or he's seen too many, too much of him not succeeding in an area, he just gives up and doesn't try.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you can sort of not blame. I can't really blame him for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll never forget. My daughter was in high school, and she looked at me. She said, "Don't you see, Mom? If I don't do it, then I don't do it wrong."
Mm-hmm.
I was like, "Don't you see that if you don't turn it in, you're going to fail?" Yeah, but I haven't done it wrong. I haven't failed at it.
Yeah.
That was a huge eye-opener for me. Because she was more motivated by not doing it wrong than by failing school. And that's sort of where curiosity comes in. It's like, what's really going on inside their head? And, you know, I think, Sarah, oops, I've got the echo again. Can you all hear me?
I can hear you.
So I think, yeah. I mean, you spoke to it at the beginning when you said, "I want to stop saying no all the time."
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because you have this instinct that tells you it just can't be good for his psyche to be hearing no again and again and again and again. Right?
Yeah. Well, in our relationship, it's just, and we have a good relationship, but it's just, it wears on that. You know, I find myself being upset with him, and I'm like, why am I upset with him? You know, and I'm exhausted by the time he goes to bed.
All right, I bet. Well, he's one of those that's going to push every limit he can, right?
Yes, he is.
So if you get curious about what's going on for him when he's asking all of these crazy wild things? Where do you see?
What's going on for him? Well,
what can you acknowledge in him?
I don't know. Nothing's coming up.
So it may help to get a more specific example.
Mm-hmm.
Of something, the ways in which you feel like you're saying no that you wish you could not, but it just, there's no way not to.
Right. I know it sounds crazy, but this is my thing, but I can't come up with an example. I wish I had an example to give.
and we've all gone through it, and I know it's because it's the little things that begin to wear on you. It's the why is the sky blue, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so here's what's coming up for me. Let me just throw this out and see if you can dance with this, if this helps at all. Is there another way to respond besides answering the question? Right?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm just remembering a time when my son was more in that stage where, you know, and he actually still comes up with these outrageous things, like, we're going to do this and then this and this. But now I know he knows it's outrageous. It didn't used to be, right? And so my response was always things like, man, you have a creative brain.
Mm-hmm.
Or, wow, I can't even follow that train of thought. That's so wild.
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, like, ways that I'm actually affirming and acknowledging him and sort of suggesting that, you know, it's not exactly realistic without having to say, come on, let's get real.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But you've got a great giggle, so laughing a lot will help a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But to maybe not feel the need to respond is just to sort of acknowledge the creative energy behind it. You know, and then even it's, wow, wouldn't it be great if we could do that after school? God, that would be amazing. Yeah. And so you're almost colluding with him to want it instead of having to say no.
Right.
What comes up for you as you just sort of hear that thinking a little bit?
Well, a lot of times when I do that, if I do affirm him, he'll be like, well, let's go do that. Why can't we do that, Mom? Let's go do it. He just keeps perseverates on it. He just keeps going at it.
Let him figure out why not then.
Yeah.
Well, what do you think? What would happen if we?
Mm-hmm.
And then what would happen when?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, that would be sort of cool. But then what would happen then? And so let him find the holes in it. Do you ever watch MythBusters?
I don't have cable.
Okay.
No.
All right. That's okay. It's a great science show for kids. It's not for kids. It's for adults. But it's great for kids because all what they do is they take sort of common myths and ideas and then they scientifically prove or disprove them.
Okay. Yeah.
And so, curiosity ties into this really, really well because maybe instead of responding, it's about helping him get curious about what the process is. And helping him begin to see through, follow through.
Right.
You know, and I know it's hard because we don't have a specific example. It would help a lot.
Yeah.
So might it be like after school, can we go to the park?
Right. I mean, well, a lot of times it's every day he wants to go and get a treat from somewhere. Or he wants me to spend money on buying every day. Well, you know, like, I know I'm saying every day. Well, it is actually every day. He does want to go buy something or eat a treat or something. It's just not realistic. I'm not going to let him do that every day.
Okay. So it's a great example, okay? So do you know how much money you have budgeted for treats during the week?
No, I don't have a budget for it, actually.
Okay. Can you make up one?
Yeah, I mean, usually I'll let him get it, which it probably averages on like once a week.
Okay.
You know.
So then maybe not in that moment, but another time, or you can even do it in the moment. Here's the deal. We get one day a week that you get to have a treat, and this is how much money we have to spend on it.
Mm-hmm.
So put it back on him. Let him be part of the decision.
Right.
Instead of you saying no, you're giving him choice to say, what day do you want to use it? Where do you want to use it? How do you want to use it?
Mm-hmm.
And then when he asks the next day, it's like, yeah, well, we can, that maybe next week.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've created a structure that he's now part of. And you've heard me say this, I'm sure, but I'm a big believer in letting the system be the bad guy.
Mm-hmm.
Once you've created the system or the structure, then you're no longer enforcing it. The system is.
Yeah. Okay.
Right. So we get to have a treat one day a week, two days a week, whatever, you know, whatever that is. And if it's not about the money, that's fine. It doesn't, you know, you can go either way. But let him be part of it. It's the same thing as the planner. It's all the same thing. It's like when they're pushing mm-hmm. and you get curious about what their perspective is, you can invite them into that curiosity.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think specifically knowing about when he tends to ask is right after school or when a teacher has come to me to compliment him on something, he'll be like, He wants, like, a reward. I think his love language is gifts. I don't know if you've heard of love languages. And so likes to, I don't know, that it just makes him feel good. And so when he gets acknowledged for something, he likes to be rewarded for it. And it's, you know.
Well, here's what I will offer. I'm a believer that gifts is really a variation of acknowledgement. What I found with my son was that I could pick up a rock from the ground and bring it in and say, look what I found. I was thinking about you. And that was, he was as happy with that as anything ever I bought.
Sure.
Because he really wanted to know that I was thinking about him when I wasn't there. And I know that's not 100%, but if you know that's his love language, then it's actually, that's a great opportunity to anticipate, you know, so I'm so proud of you. How do you want to celebrate? Right? I used to keep a note that I would keep, like we have a thing where everybody has a place at the table. And we've had that for years because we got tired of the bickering at the table, so everybody had a seat at the table. and I kept these things that said, great job this morning. And when they would leave for school, if we had a good morning, I would leave it at their place at the table so they would come home to a little note saying, you did a great job this morning. You know, and I've had little, so I'm a writer person, right? So I like to leave them little notes and things, right? Send notes in their lunchbox. You know, you could stop and get them a gold star. But it doesn't always have to be sugar treats, right? Which is, I think, what I hear the objection to.
Yeah, and that tends to be, I've noticed, this is kind of going in a different direction a little bit, but when something, it's interesting because when something happens that doesn't feel good for him, he tends to say, can we go get something, a treat to eat? Can we have cookies? You know, it's like his way of feeling better.
He's self-medicating.
Yeah.
No, he really is. He's self-medicating with sugar.
Yeah.
Which is a great, great thing to become aware of now. Right?
Yeah.
And to be able to say, you know, we don't need anything sugar like. Let's do something else. Do you want to go play? Do you want to play a game of cards? Like whatever it is, but help him redirect the celebration to something that's not sugar.
Right.
Because it's actually, I mean, sugar, it works very much like morphine in the brain. No joke.
Yeah, I know. I've heard all that. Yeah, it makes me actually kind of scared to think if he's self-medicating now with sugar, will he? And I know I shouldn't go there, but I do think about that. Like, will he have the tendency to self-medicate with other things if he
well,
doesn't now?
So let's. Here's a different way to look at it. He has that tendency.
Mm-hmm.
So you know that now, and you can help him become aware of it and begin to educate him about how to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I've been talking to my kids about them having an increased risk for you know, what are they going to do when people start asking them about drugs and alcohol and stuff like that. I've been talking to them since they were little because I want them to know that they're at an increased risk and that they have to make some choices and that they're going to need to make choices. So how, you know, I talk, the biggest joke in my family is moms, I always say, make good choices, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think is a good choice to make? So you want to go celebrate, that's a great idea. What would be a healthy way to celebrate right now?
Right.
What would be a way that's good for you that you'll feel, your body will feel good about? But I think
and they'll probably say, Mom, I don't care about that.
I know, but it's my job.
Yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think that's it, there's this great opportunity for you to recognize that is his propensity.
Right.
And to help him begin to see it. Not to say, you know, if you keep doing this now, you're going to be using drugs
right.
when you're 17. You know?
No, I don't want to do that.
No. But to say, you know, when we're not feeling good, we do things that make us feel better, and so we want to try to choose things that are really good for us to make us feel better. So let's go play some basketball. Let's go, you know, let's play a game. Let's do shoot, whatever it is. But it's a great awareness for them to recognize when you're sad, you tend to want to go for something sweet to make you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And you, I mean, it's a great, great, great awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not going to fix it now. I mean,
no.
You know, but as you, and I deal with sugar a lot with my kids. Like, two of my kids are serious sugar hounds. And yes, they know mom's the natural one, and mom wants them to eat healthy and blah, 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 blah. But, you know, when they get sick, they come to me. They're like, okay, all right, I'm coming back on the dairy. I'm coming, you know, like, you know, what kind of magic you got for me? So they begin to incorporate it, even if they don't own it yet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I feel like we're sort of derailing a little bit, but it's always interesting where it takes us, isn't it?
Yeah.
So tomorrow, where I want to bring back to. Actually, let's both of you just take a minute and sort of ask the four questions. What do you feel like each of you focused on in this conversation? And what's your aha so far, if anything?
My aha was the involving them in the process.
Mm.
And, you know, like if I do that thing with the homework pad, not just doing it for him, but involving him in the process to get the buy-in and to get the, hopefully, more of a, I forgot what the word is I'm looking for, but more of like a, yeah, let's try this out because I'm part of it.
Yeah, more ownership, more buy-in, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and the other thing I would offer for you is to get really clear on what's in it for him. You know,
okay.
Like, what's in it for him? How does he benefit when he brings home his homework and gets his homework done and gets it turned in and makes it, like, how does it benefit? Because he may or may not be motivated by making his teachers happy.
Can you hold on? I have to go on mute. 1 second.
Yep. Sarah, but what about you? What's coming up for you?
Well, I think I inadvertently focused on was the that he does have those tendencies to self-medicate, and then also me just needing the whole no thing, trying to find that wasn't inadvertent, but you know, trying to find more curative ways of saying no, or helping him see, having him come up with a reason why it might not be a realistic thing to be able to do.
Yeah. Another way to look at that is to guide him to give himself a no instead of you giving him all the time.
Right.
But to do it with curiosity. Oh, really? So what do you think would happen when you did that? All right. And then what would, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, we laugh all the time in our house about if you give the mouse a cookie, but it's such a wonderful story.
Yeah.
You know, because it takes you to that and then that and then that. And if you just take them to that and then that and that, oh, well, I guess it could be kind of expensive if we did that every day, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Or whatever it is. So what do you feel like, if anything, you want to commit to?
I think I want to commit to trying to find that, I'm going to call it creative language, to be able to guide him through finding his own no, you know, arriving at that no on his own so that I don't have to do it all the time.
Well, and it sort of goes back to what I was saying is, you know, I always use the term make good choices, right?
Right.
So,
yeah.
All right, well, that's an interesting one. Let's see if we can make a really good choice around that.
Yeah.
Let's think it through so we can make the best choice. And it starts with we, and then over time you'll sort of slowly morph it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Because we want him to be thinking in terms of making good choices.
Right. Yeah.
So, but we started the call with you saying accountability is not your strongest suit in this context. So how do you want to hold yourself accountable to it, or how do you want to set yourself up for success with this?
Well, I find that using my calendar is really well, so maybe if I just set a time on my calendar daily or every other day, daily probably would be better, just so I can make sure I'm checking with myself, maybe after he goes to bed or something.
Are you using the journal part of your workbook?
No, I really haven't been using that at all.
Do you tend to learn things by writing them down? Are you a note taker?
I am a note taker, yeah. So
that might be a good structure for you, that if you, mm-hmm. you know, print out a few weeks and see if just by writing down what we talked about today,
mm-hmm.
that will help you, in addition to putting on your calendar, but that may help you concretize it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. That's a good suggestion.
Anything else coming up?
No.
Welcome back. Well, so Sarah, the other thing I wanted to just offer is as you're redirecting and helping him learn to redirect his own, you know, stuff is to keep using your humor, because you clearly have such a beautiful laugh, and I know you share it with him.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I'm serious all the time.
Right. Well, but just, you know, we have that tendency to go so linear. Yeah. Well, of course we can't do that, and just sort of start with a laugh.
Mm-hmm.
And let it guide your curiosity a little bit. Really, I just get really, really curious. Wonder what you think would happen when.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and just see what it takes you.
Okay.
Okay. Tamar, what about you? Any sort of ahas from today? You had said it's involving him in the process. I think she may be back at work.
Yes, she might be.
Okay. It's such a delicate balance, isn't it? This whole parenting thing. Diane and I were supposed to have a meeting yesterday, and we texted each other, sorry, I got to go be a mom. Yeah, me too. So talk to you later.
Aw. You guys are probably good support for each other, though, too.
We are. We really are.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very, we've been very lucky. You know, and it takes a lot, but it also gives us so much that it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna call it. I think I'm not sure if tomorrow's coming back or not, but I do know that it feels like she got really clear on bringing him into the process.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and curiosity does a lot of things, and I think that it offers a lot for how we can help them shift their behavior. But getting them curious about their own behavior can be really, really powerful.
Right.
You know, what do you think was going on when you did or didn't do that can really lead them to their own discovery, which is what you're looking for.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, all right. So anything else for you, or I think we're going to call it a day and surprise tomorrow when she comes back.
Yeah. No one's here. Surprise.
Surprise. Well, it happens sometimes.
Yeah.
All right. Have
well,
a great,
you.
Great week, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
You too. Bye-bye.
Take care, sir. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference. The conference is now completed. Goodbye.